The 95 Theses of Martin Luther. Nailed on the church door at Wittenberg, October 31st, 1517. Number 1. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent." Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Reading from the King James Version from 1611. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He willed the entire life of believers to be of one of repentancy. Number 2. This word cannot be understood as referring to the sacraments of penitence, that is, confession and satisfaction, as administered by the clergy. Number 3. Yet it does not mean solely inner repentancy. Such inner repentancy is worthless unless it produces various outward mortification of the flesh. Number 4. The penalty of sin remains as long as the hatred of self, that is, true inner repentancy, namely, till our entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Number 5. The Pope neither desires nor is able to remit any penalties except those imposed by his own authority or that of the canons. Number 6. The Pope cannot remit any guilt except by declaring and showing that it has been remitted by God, or to be sure, by remitting guilt in cases reserved to his judgment. If his right to grant remission in these cases were disregarded, the guilt would certainly remain unforgiven. Number 7. God remits guilt to no one unless, at the same time, he humbles him in all things and makes him submissive to the vicar, the priest. Number 10. The penitential canons are imposed only on the living, and according to the canons themselves, nothing should be imposed on the dying. Number 9. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, through the Pope, is kind to us insofar as the Pope and his decrees always makes exception of the article of death and of necessity. Number 10. Those priests act ignorantly and wickedly who, in the case of the dying, reserve canonical penalties for purgatory. Number 11. These terrors of changing the canonical penalties to the penalty of purgatory were evidently sown while the bishops slept. Matthew chapter 13, verse 25, reading out of the King James Version, 1611. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Number 12. In former times, canonical penalties were imposed, not after, but before absolution, as tests of true contrition. Number 13. The dying are freed by death from all penalties, are already dead as far as the canon laws are concerned, and have a right to be released from them. Number 14. Imperfect piety or love on the part of the dying person necessarily brings with it great fear, and the smaller the love, the greater the fear. Number 15. This fear, or horror, is sufficient in itself, to say nothing of other things, to constitute the penalty of purgatory, since it is very near to the horrors of despair. Number 16. Hell, purgatory, and heaven seem to differ the same as despair, fear, and assurance of salvation. Number 17. It seems as though, for the souls in purgatory, fear should necessarily decrease and love increase. Number 18. Furthermore, it does not seem proved, either by reason or by scripture, that souls in purgatory are outside the state of merit, that is, unable to grow in love. Number 19. Nor does it seem proved that souls in purgatory, at least not all of them, are certain and assured of their own salvation, even if we ourselves may be entirely certain of it. Number 20. Therefore the Pope, when he uses the word plenary remission of all penalties, does not actually mean all penalties, but only those imposed by himself. Number 21. Thus, those indulgency preachers are in error who say that a man is absolved from every penalty and saved by papal indulgences. Number 22. As a matter of fact, the Pope remits to souls in purgatory no penalty which, according to canon law, they should have paid in this life. Number 23. If remission of all penalties whatsoever could be granted to anyone at all, certainly it would be granted only to the most perfect, that is, to very few. Number 24. For this reason, most people are necessarily deceived by that indiscriminate and high-sounding promise of release from penalty. Number 25. That power which the Pope has in general over purgatory corresponds to the power which any bishop or curate has in a peculiar way in his own diocese and parish. Number 26. The Pope does very well when he grants remission to souls in purgatory, not by the power of the keys, which he does not have, but by way of intercession for them. Number 27. They preach only human doctrines who say that as soon as the money clinks into the money chest, the soul flies out of purgatory. Number 28. It is certain that when money clinks in the money chest, greed and avarice can be increased. But when the church intercedes, the result is in the hands of God alone. Number 29. Who knows whether all souls in purgatory wish to be redeemed, since we have exceptions in St. Sylvanus and St. Pascal, as related in a legend. Number 30. No one is sure of the integrity of his own contrition, much less of having received plenary remission. Number 31. The man who actually buys indulgences is as rare as he who is really penitent. Indeed, he is exceedingly rare. Number 32. Those who believe that they can be certain of their salvation because they have indulgency letters will be eternally damned together with their teachers. Number 33. Men must especially be on guard against those who say that the Pope's pardons are that inestimable gift of God by which man is reconciled to him. Number 34. For the graces of indulgences are concerned only with the penalties of sacramental satisfaction established by man. Number 35. They who teach that contrition is not necessary on the part of those who intend to buy souls out of purgatory or to buy confessional privileges preach unchristian doctrine. Number 36. Any truly repentant Christian has a right to full remission of penalty and guilt even without indulgency letters. Number 37. All true Christian, whether living or dead, participates in all the blessings of Christ and the Church, and this is granted him by God even without indulgency letters. Number 38. Nevertheless, papal remission and blessing are by no means to be disregarded, for they are, as I have said, Theses number 6, the proclamation of the divine remission. Number 39. It is very difficult, even for the most learned theologians, at one and the same time, to commend to the people the bounty of indulgences and the need of true contrition. Number 40. A Christian who is truly contrite seeks and loves to pay penalties for his sins. The bounty of indulgences, however, relaxes penalties and causes men to hate them. At least it furnishes occasion for hating them. Number 41. Papal indulgences must be preached with caution, lest people erroneously think that they are preferable to other good works of love. Number 42. Christians are to be taught that the Pope does not intend that the bind of indulgency should in any way be compared with works of mercy. Number 43. Christians are to be taught that he who gives to the poor or lends to the needy does a better deed than he who buys indulgences. Number 44. Because love grows by works of love, man thereby becomes better. Man does not, however, become better by means of indulgences, but is merely freed from penalties. Number 45. Christians are to be taught that he who sees a needy man and passes him by, yet gives his money for indulgences, does not buy papal indulgences, but God's wrath. Number 46. Christians are to be taught that, unless they have more than they need, they must reserve enough for their family needs, and by no means squander it on indulgences. Number 47. Christians are to be taught that they buying of indulgences is a matter of free choice, not commanded. Number 48. Christians are to be taught that the Pope, in granting indulgences, needs and thus desires their devout prayer more than their money. Number 49. Christians are to be taught that papal indulgences are useful only if they do not put their trust in them, but very harmful if they lose their fear of God because of them. Number 50. Christians are to be taught that if the Pope knew the exaction of the indulgency preachers, he would rather the Basilica of St. Peter were burned to ashes than build up with the skin, flesh, and bones of a sheep. Number 51. Christians are to be taught that the Pope would and should wish to give of his own money, even though he had to sell the Basilica of St. Peter to many of those from whom certain hawkers of indulgences cajole money. Number 52. It is vain to trust in salvation by indulgency letters, even though the indulgency commissionary and or even the Pope were to offer his soul as security. Number 53. They are the enemies of Christ and the Pope who forbids altogether the preaching of the Word of God in some churches in order that indulgences may be preached in others. Number 59. Injury is done to the Word of God when, in the same sermon, an equal or larger amount of time is devoted to indulgences than to the Word. Number 55. It is certainly the Pope's sentiment that if indulgences, which are a very insignificant thing, are celebrated with one bell, one procession, and one ceremony, then the gospel, which is the very greatest thing, should be preached with 100 bells, 100 processions, and 100 ceremonies. Number 56. The true treasures of the Church, out of which the Pope distributes indulgences, are not sufficiently discussed or known among the people of Christ. Number 57. That indulgences are not temporal treasures is certainly clear, for many indulgence seekers, sellers, do not distribute them freely, but only gather them. Number 57. That indulgences are not temporal treasures is certainly clear, for many indulgence sellers do not distribute them freely, but only gather them. Number 58. Nor are they the merits of Christ and the saints. For, even without the Pope, the latter always works grace for the inner man, and the cross, death, and hell for the outer man. Number 59. St. Lawrence said that the poor of the Church were the treasures of the Church, but he spoke according to the usage of the word in his own time. Number 60. Without want of consideration, we say that the keys of the Church, given by the merits of Christ, are that treasure. Number 61. For it is clear that the Pope's power is of itself sufficient for the remission of penalties and cases reserved by himself. Number 62. The true treasure of the Church is the most holy gospel, all the glory and grace of God. Number 63. But this treasure is naturally most odious, for it makes the first to be last. Matthew 20:16. Number 64. On the other hand, the treasury of indulgences is naturally more acceptable, for it makes the last to be first. Number 65. Therefore, the treasures of the gospel are nets with which one formerly fished for men of wealth. Number 66. The treasures of indulgences are nets with which one now fishes for the wealth of men. Number 67. The indulgences which the demigods acclaim as the greatest graces are actually understood to be such only insofar as they promote gain. Number 68. They are nevertheless in truth the most insufficient graces when compared with the grace of God and the piety of the cross. Number 69. Bishops and curates are bound to admit the commissaries of papal indulgences with all reverency. Number 70. But they are much more bound to strain their eyes and ears, lest these men preach their own dreams instead of what the Pope has commissioned. Number 71. Let him who speaks against the truth concerning papal indulgences be an anathema and accursed. Number 72. But let him who guards against the lust and license of the indulgency preachers be blessed. Number 73. Just as the Pope justly thunders against those who by any means whatever contrive harm to the sale of indulgences. Number 74. Much more does he intend to thunder against those who use indulgences as a pretext to contrive harm to holy love and truth. Number 75. To consider papal indulgences so great that they could absolve a man even if he had the impossible and had violated the Mother of God is madness. Number 76. We say, on the contrary, that papal indulgences cannot remove the very least of venial sins as far as guilt is concerned. Number 77. To say that even St. Peter, if he were now Pope, could not grant greater graces is blasphemy against St. Peter and the Pope. Number 78. We say, on the contrary, that even the present Pope, or any Pope whatsoever, has greater graces at his disposal, that is, the grace, spiritual powers, gifts of healings, etc., as it is written, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Number 79. To say that the cross emblazoned with the papal coat of arms and set up by the indulgence of preachers is equal in worth to the cross of Christ is blasphemy. Number 80. The bishops, curates, and theologians who permit such talk to be spread among the people will have to answer for this. Number 81. This unbridled preaching of indulgences makes it difficult even for learned men to rescue the reverency which is due to the Pope from slander and from the shrewd questions of the laity. Number 82, such as, why does not the Pope empty purgatory for the sake of his holy love and the dire need of the souls that are there if he redeems an infinite number of souls for the sake of miserable money with which to build a church? The former reason would be most just. The latter is most trivial. Number 83, again, why are funeral and anniversary masses for the dead continued, and why does he not return or permit the withdrawal of the endowments founded for them, since it is wrong to pray for the redeemed? Number 84. Again, what is this new piety of God and the Pope that for a consideration of money they permit a man who is impetuous and their enemy to buy out of purgatory the pious soul of a friend of God, and do not rather beckon use of the need of that pious and beloved soul, free it for pure love's sake. Number 85. Again, why are the penitential canons long since abrogated and dead in actual fact and through disuse, now satisfied with the granting of indulgences as though they were still alive and in force? Number 87. Why does not the Pope, whose wealth is today greater than the wealth of the richest CRASSUS, build this one basilica of St. Peter with his own money rather than with the money of poor believers? Number 87. Again, what does the Pope remit or gain to those who, by perfect contrition, already have a right to full remission and blessings? Number 88. Again, what greater blessing could come to the Church than if the Pope were to bestow these remissions and blessings on every believer 100 times a day, as he now does but once? Number 89. Since the Pope seeks the salvation of souls rather than money by his indulgences, Why does he suspend the indulgencies and pardons previously granted when they have equal efficiency? Number 90, to suppress these very sharp arguments of the laity by force alone, and not to resolve them by giving reason, is to expose the church and the pope to ridicule of their enemies and to make Christians unhappy. Number 91, if therefore indulgencies were preached according to the spirit and intention of the pope, all these doubts would be readily resolved. Indeed, they would not exist. Number 92, away then with all those prophets who say to the people of Christ, peace, peace, and there is no peace. Jeremiah 6:14. Number 93, blessed be all those prophets who say to the people of Christ, cross, cross, and there is no cross. Number 94, Christians should be exhorted to be diligent in following Christ, their head, through penalties, death, and hell. Number 95, and thus be confident of entering into heaven through many tribulations rather than through the false security of peace. End of the 95 Treatises of Martin Luther, having been read by Peter John Parisius.